Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, August 15th, 305th day of the new year. We're in the fair season.
Yes, we are.
And the guy who thinks he's the fairest in the land, Fred Van Fleck, is with us.
Well, thank you.
You like that, huh?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Snow White.
I guess that's better than Grumpy.
I don't know. See, to me, Grumpy at least had a clearly defined characteristic and personality, and he went with it.
Yes.
So many of us are always looking for what it is that we are.
Well, I'll take Snow White, though. That means I'm beautiful. Thank you.
You're about to introduce Grumpy.
Or that you're going to be poisoned or have been poisoned. One of the, I don't know. Fred, you brought somebody along with you today. What's that about?
Yes, I did. I brought Kathy Cloney Gardner, who is the principal who will be reopening Winship next year. Actually, this year, this fall. It's coming quicker than we all know.
We could say in 2 weeks and just really focus it. But, you know.
Yeah. Now I'm really getting nervous.
Apparently, calendar is not a strength of yours.
Well, you know, when you work year-round in the district office, it just kind of all flows together.
We'll break out the crying towels, and then we'll be back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck, Superintendent of Eureka City Schools, and Kathy Cloney Gardner, who is the president of the rechristened, principal at the rechristened Winship Junior High. It's funny, talking to folks, I'll say of my age category, and we'll leave it there.
We can say our age
category. Our age category.
That leaves me out.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're still hanging in the liquor store. I'm coming in from a different perspective here. We had our 35th last weekend. How many of the folks had gone through Winship but didn't realize it had been closed? Because they're out of town. What do they know? Right. Well, you drive by and the place is still being maintained.
Right.
So the fact that it's opening up again for some of us older codgers is kind of a nice deal for some of the folks that have been out of the area. They don't know that it was closed. So congratulations, Fred. You did something nobody knows anything about.
Hey, that's a good thing.
Fair enough. Our quote this afternoon, then we'll get into the fun, comes from Eric Satie. Sometime between 1866 and 1925 said, quote, "Why attack God? He may be as miserable as we are."
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I thought I would whip that on, you know, educators, government. Yeah. What is the law? I mean, take this and we'll talk about it, won't you? What is the law about praying in school? Can you? Out
yes.
loud?
Actually, you can. It really depends. Here's the line that you really have to draw. If it's a captive audience, meaning like in classroom. The beginning of the school day when school is starting and the teacher wants the class to pray, can't do that. However, if you have like a club like Fellowship of Christian Athletes or something like that where it's voluntary for the students to join the club and say do a circle around the flagpole before school or something like that, and it's not a captive audience, it's voluntary, absolutely acceptable.
So it just can't be forced by staff?
Correct.
Kind of the boil down on it.
Correct.
And I don't know there's too many bullies that would force that on kids either. They tend to go after lunch money, I think, more than that.
Yes. We don't have a big problem with people forcing people to pray.
Yeah. Yeah. Except around test time. That does kind of seem to be a little bit more prevalent at that moment or two. Yeah,
no, that's just me praying.
Yeah. Yeah. Fred, as a quick backdrop, why did Winship close? Why is Winship reopening?
Well, if you go back historically, when it closed a few years back, the reason that it closed was the declining enrollment that was happening in Eureka City Schools. And the board was forced to make a very difficult choice on what to do to try to have some budget savings around the district. More recently, we've had very strong enrollment in our elementary schools and specifically in our primary grades. And that strong enrollment has created the need to move our sixth grade classes off of the elementary campuses because they're simply getting too full and created that need to reopen Winship. So if you look at it from a budgetary standpoint, we had some short-term savings by not having Winship open, and then now we have to reinvest that money to reopen Winship. The operational costs, there's not a lot of big costs in getting Winship open, but the operational costs in reopening Winship and that short-term savings is no longer with us, which is not a bad thing because enrollment's good.
Mothballing a campus sounds a little interesting. I mean, we're talking about mothballing a boat, and everybody kind of figures out what it is. When you mothball a campus, similar, a couple years, no big deal. A couple decades, significant deal.
I wouldn't say that Winship was completely closed because we had our continuation school there. We had adult education there. So we still had activity on the campus and everything was still happening. Lots of things going on. It is not like the Jacobs campus where we've lost the package on the outside and, you know.
The pampas grass?
Yes.
New landscaping theme?
Yes, yes. Okay. The Jacobs campus is not a functional campus, and it's not a campus that will be functional again. It's just the package around, the buildings are just not sound anymore. Winship, on the other hand, was never put in that situation. It was never completely mothballed. It was continued to be used. And we're certainly, and I know Kathy's going to talk about this, making a valiant effort of bringing Winship's glory back and really increasing the curb appeal of that campus and doing some big projects over there.
When the bonds were let 5-6 years ago, Zane got a pound and a half. The high school got a pound and a half. Selected elementary schools got some money. Did Winship participate in that? Is it a newer, different campus than the one if you had kids go through 10 years ago?
Yeah, the biggest difference that was over there was the addition of the cafeteria or multi-use room with the kitchen and the culinary arts classroom attached to that. And so there was definitely money invested from the bond over there, and it will be put to good use as we reopen it. And it actually, there was discontent, if you will, going around when Winship closed with the thought that, wow, we just put all this money in from the bond and we're not using it. But that's not completely accurate. We weren't using it as a middle school, that's correct, but it continued to be used as, like I said, the adult school and the continuation school, so it's never really not been used.
So, Kathy, when you started walking around the campus, did you flashback or were you looking forward?
Oh, I think I did a little bit of both because it was just a few years ago that I was a student there myself. Okay.
We're going to have to do a little gut check. We'll be back. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Mark the dates August 14th through the 25th for the 117th annual Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Beginning opening day, there'll be 8 days of fast horse racing, competing beef and dairy cattle, goats, poultry, sheep, and swine will be on display and judged. The flower pavilion will be filled with beautiful plants grown by county gardeners. The art pavilion will have many delights for the eye. And enjoy the judged exhibits of locally made items, from baked goods to hand-spun yarn, with much in between such as decorated potatoes, scarecrows, quilts, rugs, and home brews. There'll be plenty to eat and drink, so you can treat yourself to corn dogs and cotton candy. The commercial exhibits building will feature fascinating products. And, of course, there's the Ferris wheel and other rides the kids will want to try. For hours and information, call 786-9511. That's 786-9511. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people, places, and things that makes us a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Kathy Cloney Gardner. Kathy, being principal of a junior high has challenges because of the age group that you're working with. Okay. The new model that we have in Eureka of a 6, 8 rather than the 7-9 that we went through with.
Right.
Yeah, okay, there may be some challenges. What do you see as having a school that doesn't have 3 years but only has 2 years on the first go-around? Is that kind of like your safety net?
Actually, yes, probably is my safety net. It's going to be nice to have just the two grades so that we can work out any little bugs and also start to build that school culture, really define ourselves until we meet our students and really get to know them and their interests. You know, we really don't know exactly what that culture is going to look like.
Now, you remember who used to go to which of the three junior highs when we were going through.
Right.
Okay. Do you expect the population and the community of Winship to be similar to when we were going through, or do you see it's going to be more of a mixed bag because of some of the just the dynamics and the population shifts and changes in the greater Eureka area?
Right. As far as Winship and Zane being looking different, or you mean looking different than when we were?
And the populations being different, and you know, Jacobs had a certain general profile, Winship did, Zane did. Now with Winship not being there, things have changed. What do you expect? Are you ready for something, or are you just going to sit back and see what happens?
Oh, obviously we're preparing for, you know, our population, but I think they're going to be very similar on both sites. I think the district has done a really good job with the attendance zones and the students that are going to feed to both of the schools so that they will be very similar to one another. That's the hope. Having a differentiated campus of different students is important.
One of the things that I think is important to mention is one of the priorities of the board when we reopened Winship was to make sure that we did not create the have and have not campus. That was very important to them. So with that, what we did was we drew the attendance boundaries for the two schools to create the most equal, if you will, population as far as socioeconomic diversity.
So
and
who's
racial
going,
diversity
who's going
as well.
Where?
So if you look at it, the two elementary schools that are, we have four elementary schools that are part of Eureka City Schools. That's Washington, Lafayette, Zane, and Grant and Alice Burney. Let me try to spit those out correctly.
Boy, that was smooth.
So of those four elementary schools, Alice Burney and Grant will feed into Winship, and then Washington and Lafayette will feed into Zane. And some people say real quickly, well, why the heck is Washington feeding into Zane? And what they forget about is Zane is right smack dab in the middle of the attendance boundary of Washington, even though Washington school itself is located close to the Winship campus. So when we looked at that,
the kids that are in the down, what used to be the downtown area, the west side, so to speak, are they currently going to Alice Burney or are they going to
Lafayette?
So yes. You're getting that kind of, if you looked at the city, who's where,
right.
That's kind of the demarcation.
Right. And so if you took those two populations and balanced them out, they are very, very similar. And then you look at our feeder schools that come in, Cutton, it would make absolutely no sense for Cutton to go anywhere but Winship. So Cutton does go to Winship. And then we have South Bay, and then we have Freshwater. Freshwater goes to Winship, and South Bay goes to Zane.
Really? Freshwater is going to Winship now?
Yes.
That is a difference from what...
Right. And part of what we wanted to do when we looked at the numbers of the feeder schools, too, is we looked at the absolute, the amount of kids that were coming into the school, because not only did we want a social, economic, and racial balance of the students that are at the schools, we also need a balance of the overall numbers. And so when we put those numbers together, that created the closest numbers, so those two schools are very similar in size.
Now, as the different populations of the schools adjust and change over the upcoming years, are you going to be changing those, or it's kind of locked and now we ride the horse?
Well, here's what we'll be changing. The feeder schools will stay the same, but actually this fall we're going to be looking at adjusting our attendance boundaries at the elementary schools. So we'll be having some parent groups come in and work on that along with recommendations.
Oh, boy, are you going to have fun.
Oh, yeah.
You thought you've had some emotional meetings in the last little bit. That one will be... That'll light you up.
So here's what's interesting. What's happened with our current attendance boundaries is Lafayette has actually shrank quite a bit because their attendance boundary does not have enough students in it to feed that campus. So it's actually next year going to be one of the smallest student-wise it has been in several years. And so we're going to be working on expanding their area. And Washington's bigger than it needs to be, so the attendance boundary of Washington will shrink a little bit. Grant is pretty close to where it needs to be, and Alice Burney. So we're going to be working with those attendance boundary lines to try to balance out some of our schools as far as number-wise. The board has set their target to keep our elementary schools in that 450 to 500 student range.
But folks can still petition to have their kids go to whatever elementary school they want.
Absolutely. We have an open enrollment period in the month of January. So if you're a parent that lives in the Alice Burney attendance boundary and you want to attend Washington, you can come in and turn your application in.
You work in the neighborhood. I mean, it's probably the most often cited one, isn't it?
No, not necessarily. No. A lot of times it's because they like a specific school or they like a specific location or they think for whatever reason one school is better than another school in their opinion. Their sibling attends that school.
Okay, that'd be a no-brainer then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's lots of reasons. The default is you go to your neighborhood school. And then if you don't want to go to your neighborhood school, you come in and...
If it still exists.
Yes.
KINS, yes. News and Air. It's 3:30.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Kathy Cloney Gardner. Kathy, opening up the school this year, later on this month, what does it mean to you? I mean, as being are you an alumni of a junior high? I don't know. It kind of sounds dorky,
yes.
Doesn't it? Yeah. But as being somebody who was there before, you have these specters of past there, whether it was Larry Olson or some of the other folks who were in the chair. Are you modeling off after that at all, or is this... You and you're going to put a new whitewash on the whole thing, and we're going to do it today's style.
Well, I think it is going to be a fresh new Winship. Of course, the historical part of it, you know, matters and where the name came from and how it got to become what it is. But it's going to be fresh with a 21st century focus for sure, which is, you know, communication, creativity, collaboration, critical thinking, along with the new Common Core standards. I think it puts a real fresh new twist on it. So I'm pretty excited about it.
What would somebody who has a kid going there in a couple of weeks, what would be fair for them to anticipate?
I think they can anticipate and look forward to a staff that is just amazing group of people. Most of the teachers on the staff are seasoned teachers and all have chosen to come on over to Winship. I don't think anybody has been placed there. Everybody has asked to come and interviewed to be in that position.
How come?
I guess they're ready for a brand new fresh
new Winship. New stuff, yeah.
I'd like to say it's the leadership.
You know, but it took two or three times before you got there, so I'm not sure.
I will say one of the things, I opened a new high school as a high school principal years ago. And one of the things that's exciting about opening a new campus like that, especially when you get the number of volunteers to come over like that, just the energy and the charge and the drive that the teachers and the leadership team of the teachers have on a campus like that just opens up a brand new set of possibilities and just creates this exceptional atmosphere around there of the can-do attitude and really doing neat things. The other piece that it does is when you have two middle schools in the same district, is that becomes contagious and good things start happening to both of the middle schools and they start working against each other and working to get to that next level and provide that next level of instruction for students. And who wins in that? The students. That's a good thing.
I think that's exactly what we're living right now.
So if your kid's going to Zane, you don't have to feel like you're dealing with leftovers. Is that what you're saying?
Well, both of my children attend Zane, so no, I do not feel like I'm dealing with leftovers at all.
Has Zane been forgotten in this?
Absolutely not. So one of the things that we thought was really important, and you talked about this in the beginning, we did not want to split the eighth grade class at Zane and say, hey, by the way, I know you went to Zane last year, you're going to attend Winship next year. We didn't want to do that. And then the other thing, if you take a look at the teaching staff that is still at Zane, there is some dynamic teachers there, and there's great things that are happening. I have, like I said, both of my children are attending Zane. I have an eighth grader and a sixth grader there next year, and I have absolutely no hesitation in my children attending Zane at all.
Do you guys look at this and hope that some of the rivalries come back, whether it's in the music programs or drama or athletics or that there'll be some of that rivalry again? Or are you looking at it more as a kumbaya? And we're all going to be buddies in high school, so let's be buddies today.
Healthy competition is always a good thing, right? It keeps the bar held high. So mm-hmm. I think there'll be some nice, healthy rivalry. But
there was a trend decades ago for theme schools. We're going to be in the international school, and we're going to be in the recycling school, or this. Is that going to rear its head in this scenario, or do you just have two strong academic schools emphasizing the basics and getting kids ready for high school?
Well, let me talk about Zane, and then I'll let Kathy talk about Winship. Zane is, so to speak, rearing its head again on that one. They're going to be what's called a STEM school, or a STEAM school, actually, which is science, technology, arts, and music, and engineering. I had to figure out what that E was.
Man, you don't spell well, do you?
Did I mention I went to Arcata? Oh, I didn't say that out loud, did I?
Yeah.
But anyway, they're going to be a STEAM school, and they're really going to focus their electives around those core areas. Winship, on the other hand, I'll let Kathy comment on that.
Yeah, when we were given the charge to really identify ourselves as, you know, what is our middle school going to be, that was early on when I first became the principal and wasn't really sure of who the staff would be at Winship or what their strengths were going to be. And so when we developed the leadership team early on, it was in January that we developed a leadership team. So we had lots of meetings and talked about that and really thought that we couldn't really say who we were going to be without knowing the complete staff. So what we really felt strongly about was having a really strong 21st century focus. So that's the direction that Winship is headed to become. And a 21st century focus is called the four C's come up, which is critical thinking, collaboration, creativity, and communication.
I thought iPad would be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's LA Unified right now.
Technology is really kind of one of those double-edged swords, though. I mean, you want it, you need it, but it goes out of style in about, what, a week and a half, and you need the next thing or the next latest, greatest, and the upgrades. How are you going to be able to maintain, and I suppose another C would be cutting edge,
right?
That right. point so that it does remain current.
I think you're right. That's a journey we're on right now. You might want those things, but you need to know how you're going to use them and have a really good plan and lots of professional development. So that's definitely something that is a journey right now. There is no answer to exactly what the hopes are.
So I take it in a little bit different direction from the district perspective. One of the things that I think is important to remember about technology, and sometimes this gets forgotten, is technology is a tool to support instruction, not a tool to supplant instruction. So it's important that we use technology in that way. And so what we've been doing as a backbone for the technology piece in the district is we are starting to build up our infrastructure as far as all of our campuses are wireless now. And that's preparing for the BYOD, bring your own device. And that's going to be something that's going to be happening in the not so distant future, because as we go into the Common Core standards, the state will adopt new curriculum that goes along with the Common Core standards. And I believe that those will be adopted in an electronic version where students are actually bringing readers to school, and they'll need that wireless capability at the schools. We will provide the readers, but just like anything, when we get to that point, somebody may want the fancier, nicer reader, and they could bring that in, or we'll have the one provided for them as well. The other thing that we're doing, and this was a big change for us this year, is we've switched over to the cloud, if you will, and we've gone to Google, which is all of our documents now are kept in the cloud. All of our email now, we've gone away from Microsoft Office, which has been the standard for a long time, and we've gone to the Google online version with Gmail, and we've gone also to Chromebooks for students, because the new Smarter Balanced assessment program will be computer-based assessment. So we're gearing up for that and using Chromebooks as our foundation for
replacing
that.
Textbooks?
We're not replacing textbooks yet. And the reason we're not replacing textbooks yet is because the state hasn't adopted the new textbooks yet for the new Common Core standards. So we're waiting on a state for that to happen. And once the state does that, I believe we'll be moving in the electronic direction.
Can you do that at the elementary school class level, though, Fred, before you get into the junior high or high school stuff, and have it eliminate some of those textbooks and go with more of an electronic or approach?
Well, I believe that's exactly what will happen. I think about my four-year-old daughter. She jumps on the iPad all the time, and she's more proficient at it than some of us sometimes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Gee, what a stunner. You're more proficient than me. Justin smiling. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We'll be back with more, just a little bit more, with Fred and Kathy.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and new principal at a old school. That being Winship, Kathy Cloney Gardner. Guys, when school starts, it's the 28th or
26th.
Okay, 26th. Monday will be the start. I would imagine you're going to do some cool stuff. I don't know if there's a... you know, burying something in the dirt somewhere or pulling something out of the dirt. But what recognition are you going to do for that first day of Winship 2.0?
The first week of Winship, we have decided to call it the Week of Winship Way, or WOW Squared. And so the whole first week of school is going to be on an assembly schedule, and every afternoon we have activities planned. The first afternoon on Monday at 2:30, I'd like to invite the community and any alumni from Winship to join us for the ribbon cutting ceremony. Winship has joined the Chamber of Commerce, and we'll be out at 2:30 to say some words about Winship and have some guest speakers and cut the ribbon. So the community.
And Zane alumni can bring water balloons?
That's Monday, August 26th.
Notice he didn't say no. Oh, cool. So you got some neat stuff planned. I'm sure, you know, Fred will be sharing some stuff. We may even drag you back in after you've got a couple more battle scars on you.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks for coming by, guys. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Kathy Cloney Gardner. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.